Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Wednesday to you.
Thank you.
You are indeed in the loop. Yeah, that was specifically for you, Sean.
Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. And you! Get involved with the program on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text
line. The Texas Hammer!
713-572-4610. That is the number there. Also, shout out to Mokiram Injury Lawyers for the live streams.
We keep it 100.
On YouTube and Twitch. It's a fun little dance. I enjoy that every morning.
Good.
It gets me going. I hope that it does the same for you. All right, fun show. If you like hearing Texans radio, if you like talking Texans, you definitely want to be here at 1 when we talk to John Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Let's circle back around. Let's see how he's feeling about a couple of weeks out from the draft. Like, we are 15 days?
Mm-hmm.
15 days out from the NFL draft. So, super excited for that. Let's get a little taste of what John Harris
is. I think he was bouncing around a little trade idea as well.
Yes, he was. On Texans All Access. Yeah. I heard that. So, yeah, maybe we ask him a little bit about...
Some jackass in the media said...
That is fair. So we'll get to that later in the program. Also, shout out to the Rockets making sure to get the number 2 seed without even having to do nothing on their day off.
Yep,
getting stuff done. So shout out to the Rockets. They are officially going to be the number 2 seed. It makes it so that you can train your attention strictly on the play-in games in a week here as well. Man, we're barreling towards the end of the NBA season, and we'll talk about that as we go as well. But we start with the thing that kept me up to the wee hours of the morning. And of course, I say that probably I'm lying because I'm always up to at least 1 in the morning. It's not a good thing that I do. I probably should sleep more.
You probably should.
But nevertheless, I had a good reason for it this time. It wasn't just me messing around. Mm-hmm. It's because the Astros were playing on the West Coast against the Seattle Mariners. And by golly, they got a W.
Mm-hmm.
They did indeed get a win. They beat the Mariners. And how did that feel for you? Like... Because, I mean, the win was absolutely necessary. You went to extras for it all the way to 12 innings to make sure you got it done.
Well, let me take you to what I was telling myself as I was finishing up last night, getting a little tired, watching the Astros. I'm like, why am I staying up for this? Because it was just miserable to watch.
That's right.
So I went to bed. And then I set the alarm for a half hour early just so I could catch up on the game as I'm getting my coffee, et cetera, in the morning. And as I was watching it, I was like, why'd I get up extra early for this? Because it was a nice win. It was a nice win. I mean, you don't ever criticize those. But, man, I was asking myself that, or telling myself, that should have been a great pitcher's duel, Fromber against Luis Castillo. And it was for 5 or 6 innings. It
absolutely was.
You know?
Fromber went that six. Earned runs.
Yeah.
8 strikeouts, really solid. I mean, there's a little bit of some hard hits, especially early. Like, I think the first inning you had a couple of opportunities in the outfield for Jake Meyers and Cam Smith, which is not typically something you expect for Fromber, but he gave you another good outing. We will need to talk about Taylor Scott, by the way.
Yeah, we will talk about him. But then after those two guys were out, Castillo and Valdez, you know, that's kind of why I plugged in. And then I woke up this morning, I'm like, this is not great pitching. It's bad offense on both sides. Keep in mind, you know, what do we always say about the Mariners? Ooh, what good pitching they have, but they can't hit a lick.
Correct.
Astros look like them.
You think that they decided that let's make this a fair fight, let's do it.
The Astros look like them, and I know that sounds harsh. All I'm saying is it comes back to the same thing with me. Like, I still have the same worries 11 games in now about this offense. I mean, the winning run came on a drawn-in infield. The Astros were 3-for-15 with runners in scoring position. It was just not great. Maybe you want to give it to the pitchers. That's fine. It just looked like a team that was still scuffling, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is you got to win, but I don't think that you have any level of resolution or any level of, like, hope for immediate resolution when it comes to finding some offense. There were some hard-hit balls, though, right? Like,
yeah.
And we've had some games where they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely earlier on in the season, I felt like we were doing the hard-hit ball watch with Christian Walker.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, man, if these find space. You had some hard hits, but you didn't find a lot of grass necessarily, although you did have 8 hits in this game. Like, the expected batting average, I know that you love it when I give you expected
stats. Well, I don't
mind
it so much in baseball.
It was when you go
dynamo that kind of hurts me.
Oh, wait, no, okay. All right. So where is
a line.
And is not, is it okay to then have advanced stats? Because it seems like you're up and down. I said I don't mind. All right, fair enough. Especially because y'all, I noticed y'all didn't respond to that text that I sent.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
When Collis was making that mention in that first inning on Space City Home Network of the expected catch percentage on those two
And
flyouts.
That is an eye roll when he do that.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure y'all consistent. Yeah. I'm going to make sure y'all weren't just being jerks to me.
Yeah.
Reggie Callis.
All right, I see what we're doing here. But, no, I mean, like, watching this game, I'm still in this place where I have some concern for this offense. But you feel like there are very specific places where that concern should. You're not in a place where you're, like, overall concerned. Because 11 games, are we doing marathons, not sprint? Is that what we're doing there?
Right.
But where are the specific places that you have?
Well, let's set aside Cam Smith. We're going to talk about him later specifically. And the ups and downs of a very young rookie out there. You know, this offense, they struck out 12 times as a team last night. The Mariners struck out 19 times. I mean, think about that. That's a lot of strikeouts. They are not, they're flailing at the ball. They're not seeing the ball. They're not getting their hits. Specifically, three guys that you got to count on. Like the three guys that you know, especially with, you know, no more Bregman, no more Tucker, you know, whatever, you know, you feel about the rest of the team. You had to have Christian Walker come in and produce. Now, maybe it's just an 11 game slump. But he's batting 156 with a 418 OPS.
Yeah, that's not
great. That's 11 games. Jeremy Peña, what were we saying the whole spring? If he can just get back to what, you know, some semblance or maybe even hopefully better of what he was recently, there's less protection for Peña now up and down the lineup, and he's batting 154 with a 518 OPS. And then Yonner Diaz, man, that might be the biggest question mark that we have left.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great point, because those other guys, like, they've had a moment here or there. Like, obviously, with the Christian Walker, if you want to try and wipe that away, we can go back to the thing that I mentioned earlier. Just as he's making some contact in decent amount. It seems like he's getting unlucky at times.
Jeremy has been up and down.
Got on the base pass a little bit.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah, the Yainer Diaz just looks like that one looks abysmal. That one feels like he's pressing, he's expanding the zone. Like he that one looks like very different than what you saw last year from him, especially because like it's not even the same MO on the ways that pitchers are getting after him. It's just it looks completely different. And you wonder, like, when does that find a way to level? And then also, at what point do you, because, and this is probably like nuclear in this instance, but at what point do you have Victor Caratini a little bit more frequently in your lineups? Because it seems like Joe Espada is willing to do that and kind of have.
To use him.
Well, absolutely willing to use him. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's necessary when you have, you know, this particular bench and you don't really have left field bats or left handed bats, rather, to throw out there. But, I mean, he's willing to kind of move some things around, move and shake some things in some positions in various other places, obviously for some certain reasons, like defensive adjustments, those types of things, youth to give guys rest and stuff. But, I mean, he's just got Yainer Diaz in there, and it seems like he wants to just let him work through it. But I think it becomes more elevated and more heightened when you look around the entirety of the roster and you just aren't getting anything.
Yeah, and the other thing with Yainer, and just for the record, he's batting .061. With 199 is what I saw, 200 OPS. Mm-hmm. But okay, if you're going to do that, you better be Martin Maldonado. And I know that's been a bad name in this city, you know, but everybody was like, oh, the way he frames pitches. Diaz is not framing pitches. Day before yesterday, previous game, there was one that should have been a strike that he just didn't frame right, Ray. He's not getting guys out on the base paths.
I'll defend him a little bit on the framing. I feel like that's more the individual anecdote as opposed to like the overall. I think he's doing a decent job framing. But I have no defense on him when it comes to like people are running on. Like he has, I think he's up there.
What
when
did
it comes
Chandler
to
Rome
the,
tweet out last night?
I missed that one.
15 out of 16 runners.
Ooh, that's not good.
15 out of 16 runners have advanced on him.
And he literally has the slowest pop time. Like he has the slowest by baseball savant. Like
Mitch Garver got his third career stolen base last night. Mitch Garver has 3 career stolen bases, one last night, ended up being the tying run. Later. Maybe that was, some people would blame Taylor Scott on that because he wasn't keeping him on well. But regardless, he's not, you know, this is going to sound weird, Figgy, but, you know, at least you could always counter argue Martin Maldonado's horrid bat with what he could do defensively. And he's not even in the same hemisphere.
Yeah, that's fair. Like that's one of the ones that I'm really really concerned about. Mm-hmm. And to be fair to him, in some degree, like the pitchers aren't getting the ball to him quick. Like they're slow to the
plate.
Last
night was bad with Taylor Scott.
And also like in a way, Framber Valdez. Like I don't know if you noticed in the second inning, and maybe I need to look more into this, and I'll ask you to see if you had any level of recognition. Was he working out of the windup with runners on base?
I don't remember that.
Because it did feel like that was the case, and I'm like, well, what are we doing? Like, of course people are going to run on you in circumstances like that. I'll do a little bit more digging to make sure that I did, in fact, see that correctly. But, yeah, man, that's a real concern, especially because if your offense is not going to be there, you can't be giving away free bases. Obviously, when it comes to the walks, like that's the first place that you get to. And then letting people get into scoring position, because you're not going to always face the Mariners who are going to leave a whole bunch of runners in scoring position. Like you're going to see folks who are going to put the ball in play. And then you also pair that with the fact that, especially if they're, long balls to the outfield, you got some concerns about making sure that you get those outs and then keeping runners at the bases that they are at previously. So, yeah, that has to get better in some degree. And, I mean, just the defense in specific needs to get better from that position. But you definitely want to make it, I guess, taste a little bit better with Yainer swinging the bat.
I mean, Seth brought it up. I mean, Jake Meyers is the second leading hitter on the team. You know who third is? Brendan Rodgers. That's not the recipe.
No.
And that's why, take the win, happy with the win. Whatever they're still what are they 5-6 I think whatever the record is they're still scuffling all together. But Jake Meyers and Brendan Rodgers cannot be your second third best hitter on the team.
Yeah. All right. So this text is coming in on the text line. Yainer is a streaky hitter. Some of you just gonna have to live with him. And I can hear that. Was that an oversight in building this roster? In that it feels like there's a lot of guys that were saying, all right, well, there's just going to be streaks in. And I mean, it's baseball. You're going to have
everybody has some streak,
some level of streak.
Yeah.
But if everyone is like more further along on the streaky hitter spectrum of sorts, is that an issue? Because at some point you have to have some people that are metronomic, like some people that you can lean on a fairly regular basis to be those guys, and then you get your pops of your guys who end up being a little streakier. It feels like everybody's in that streaky space.
Except Altuve. You know, he's been pretty consistent from the get-go here. No, look, I feel like if you're going to have a bunch of streaky hitters, that's not that's another ingredient to a bad recipe, you know? You can't have a bunch of streaky hitters. You got to be able to rely on something.
The one thing that I can lean on in this game, you managed to get a win. Like, you just toughed it out, and obviously your pitching has been pretty good at the top. How are we feeling about this pen right now, though? Because Taylor Scott, we got, I mean, two-thirds of an inning of work, and he allows a run that ultimately ties this thing back up at one. It's the thing that kept us up late in the night, because then, you know, we got into extras because of that run, and this is the day after he also, like, gave up runs that were important in that game. In fact, that was ultimately what lost you the game last night or yesterday against the Mariners. And so how are we feeling? It feels like he in particular, this isn't like a good space for him. And I have concerns about where he is in your pen. But how are we feeling about the bullpen as a whole? Because Brian King came in and was solid. And then Josh Hader did what he was supposed to do, which is funny. When he's in that instance where he's just kind of holding something down, it's great. It's when
Hader was great.
It's when you have that save situation that it ends up being kind of funny for him, right?
No, I actually feel pretty good about the bullpen, but I think there's some tweaks that are happening. Rafael Montero gets traded for the old player to be named later, and the Astros are going to have to eat about $7 million of his contract. They're trying to find something on the back end, in the middle, or whatever you want to, wherever you want to put it. But I don't feel bad about the bullpen altogether. Taylor Scott is probably, if I had to guess, not long for the big squad.
Yeah.
But
and we already see Van Wy coming up. Van Wy said, will they use him? I feel like they
have to.
They feel he pitched well in spring. And I mean, I think also looking at the reporting, I think it was Chandler Rome saying that they were shopping Montero the start of the season. Yeah. Him being decent probably made it more more palatable for them be sent. So it feels like maybe that was always in the cards. But yeah, and maybe this is unfair because I want to take a step back. I'm looking at all these various aspects and talking about Taylor Scott. This does not feel nearly as bad as if your offense is hitting. Like, I have to
I feel pretty good. Okay, about the bullpen.
Right, I always have to try and step back and look around and go, all right, am I complaining about this because it's a problem, or am I complaining about this because this other portion is not carrying their weight?
Right.
You know, and I think that ultimately is part of it, which is why it needs to come around. It's a day game today, 3:10, first pitch, and I'm like, one of the things that I was looking at is like, all right, maybe the Mariners, you can do something there, and I completely forgot, and it's a stark oversight for me because it's always been this case that, like, T-Mobile Park, where the Mariners play, is literally the most pitcher-friendly park in the majors. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I'm looking forward to the possibility of runs today, but, man, I'm at the place where I'm just hoping. Like, it's just existing off of hope because I've not seen enough to get me to the place where I'm like, yo, this offense is going to get going anytime soon. I don't know that I've fully gotten to the place where I am concerned about the offense as a whole of a season, and maybe that is, I don't know what that says about me, but at least for this particular stretch, I'm concerned. And I should be also because you did the miracle last year of climbing back out. I don't know that you want to put yourself in a situation where you have to climb out again. Now, of course, right now, you're right around 500, but it could very quickly go the other way if the bats don't go.
Well, yeah, if the bats don't get going. That's why I think your point on, you know, we wouldn't even be looking at the bullpen that much. In fact, we might be saying how good it is, and I'm good with it altogether. If, you know, if Diaz was batting okay, if Jeremy Peña had a better start, if Christian Walker was, you know. So those three guys, getting back to how we started this, those three guys right now, I think are the biggest part of the problem of why this team is where it is right now.
Yeah, and 713, great point. Talking about the AL and AL, NL, rather, players of the week. Look at Tucker and Breggy having success when they were here. It was a slow start. It was more Bregman, and that was the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, before that, the starts weren't particularly bad.
Even Bregman wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was just the last couple seasons. And then Tucker, I don't think he had that thought. I guess more of the problem with Tucker is what you talk about later in the season, right, and into the postseason is where I think sometimes people had criticisms of him, but that people popping up about the hitting coach again, right? Everybody's popping up about Cintron. And I don't know that I'm immediately jumped to that place, and I know that that's more than just this start. The real thing is it just feels like you need your guys that you're
the guys that you're paying.
The guys that you pay to be there, to be that. And we'll see how that comes along. They'll get the getaway game today. 3:10. Hunter Brown on the mound. That at least instills confidence for me that at the very least the Mariners, who already aren't great bats, won't probably go off. And of course I say that and I probably jinxed it. I'll be completely honest. That's where I am with this team. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Wednesday. That was a 3-hour, 34-minute extravaganza, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I woke up at 5.
That's right. That's right. All right, coming up next, the Rockets in a really good place, 2 seed, ready to go into the postseason. But before we get to the postseason, there's going to be some awards. Can we make the case for Amen Thompson as Defensive Player of the Year? Let's try. You try along as well on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.